This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Raisin Bran? You got to put Raisin Bran up there. Everybody knows it.
It's Mike Shope.
Listen, get your own stupid old dying person team and choose your own cereals.
And the Bulldog.
I shall unleash my fury upon you like the crashing of a thousand waves.
That cereal is soggy. You reach into the fridge for the milk and open the lid on the milk to pour it in there, and that crap is already soggy.
I am untethered, and my rage knows no bounds.
That's a problem. Oh.
That's a problem for a cereal.
A huge problem.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Welcome back. Happy Friday. You got a draft take for us? We're here for it. 803-0550. I mentioned I do this a lot, which is bad. I mentioned a player. Oh, you got to hang around because I want to talk about this one player. And then I didn't mention who it was. But I, at least this time, remembered before the show was over.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Thomas.
Right.
You do not hear very much about Michael Thomas. Who, when? It's too long ago to matter. That's really maybe what the league is saying.
Yeah.
Was the most productive wide receiver in the game, if not the best. 2019 for New Orleans. He led the NFL in catches back-to-back years, 18 and 19, with Drew Brees. 149 catches, 1,725 yards, an average of 107.8 per game in 2019. 2020 hurt, 2021 missed the whole year, hurt. Then limited the last 2 years. He is 31 now, and apparently the NFL doesn't care about him because nobody seems interested at all. And the Bills are not the only team that have room, to put it one way. But
he gets somewhere after the draft, June, July, whatever. He's a receiver version of Leonard Floyd. This offseason, you know, one year, prove it. Let's see if you can stay healthy. Maybe you can show up here and catch 50 or 60 passes for us. I don't know. Maybe you can hope for more than that. Whatever. He'll get somewhere. I would guess that I wouldn't mind if the Bills took a flyer on him. We'll see what they come out of the draft with. That could change my opinion. Sitting here right now, though, the guy, I got time. I always will have time for a guy who's had a rough go, if it's health-wise or whatever, but has been great, you know, what's the downside? You know, I'm going to guarantee you a lot of money. You don't swing any kind of a hammer if you're in that position. You're just looking for an opportunity to sort of reestablish that you can play in the league and continue your career and maybe even make, you know, much more money a year or two from now. It gets tougher and tougher at the age. You said he's already 31.
Yeah.
So maybe that's not really in the window for him. But still, I think if he wants to play, I think there will be a place for him. Some team will take a flyer on that and say, like, let's just see if we can make it work.
As long as he wants to do it.
Right. That's right. He's got to want to do it. Yeah.
I wouldn't mind either because I think at this point it has to be low risk for Thomas. Like, I can't imagine there's much demand out there if he's not. There are no rumors about him that I'm aware of.
He does not get even – I mean, Beckham was coming off injuries. He wasn't 31 years old. But, you know, it had been a while since he'd been a good, you know, a productive player in the league. And he got, like, what, $15 million last offseason from the Ravens. That is not happening for Michael Thomas. Michael Thomas is getting, like, a one-year deal worth up to $7 million or something with a base salary of $1 million or whatever. Like, you got to make my team, and if you catch some passes, then you might make some money. Like, that's, I think, at this point, what a guy like that gets on the market, I would think.
You want to talk about Beckham?
Nah, I'm not interested. I mean, we can talk about him, but that's my opinion at this point is that the year he had in Baltimore, it almost feels like I fell for something by investing so much time and energy into talking about him for two off seasons. Because that's how long it goes back, right? Von Miller showed up and was like, oh yeah, he's coming. And that entire offseason, and then season went by without him being on a team.
He didn't play at all.
Didn't play at all. Finally gets back and gets, you know, a respectable payday for a one-year deal to go to Baltimore. And what did he catch, 35 passes?
Exactly 35 passes.
I don't know, man. I guess you could say the same thing about him that I'm saying about Thomas, but that's a big drop. And he was relatively healthy, right?
Yes, I think so.
So it's not like he's coming off injury. I don't know if a guy like that is going to be humble enough to take, you know, the sort of contract I just described for Michael Thomas. If he were, I mean, I guess maybe I'd listen to it. But I just feel like that's really cooled off. Maybe he's not anywhere near what he once was. And last year tells you that. He played a lot of football on a great team and didn't do a whole lot. So it's a little different than Thomas because, you know, he was healthy and not productive, whereas Thomas's problem has been being healthy.
Ankle injuries. I think the Bills are kind of right for someone like Michael Thomas in different ways. Contender, definitely have room. Big body, like if he can do it.
Yeah, right.
If he's healthy, you would think that there's real upside. Just never hear a word about him. 803-0550 to join us. We're watching the Masters. It's windy.
It is really windy. I've never watched golf from North America where sand has been blowing up out of sand traps into players' faces. Like, there are guys on greens, like, shielding their eyes, having to step away because there's, like, these little mini dust bowls blowing up out of the sand traps. That's how windy it is. Like, I say North America because, you know, you probably have witnessed this in British Opens if you watch it.
Oh, hats flying off.
Just, you know, the crazy wind and the weather you get there. Even making it weirder is that it's a perfectly clear sky looking sort of day. I mean, there's some puffy clouds, but like whatever. You get this kind of weather at an open somewhere in England or Ireland, and it's usually like really gray and raining, and you've got the wind going with that. This looks like a picturesque kind of perfect day for golf, except the wind is blowing 25 miles an hour almost constantly.
I love golf in the wind.
I hate any activity in the wind.
Biking, running. The things you actually do.
Walking to my truck.
Walking.
Golfing. Yes. But in particular, when I used to run and now biking, the wind is, I don't enjoy the wind.
I just like, maybe it helps that I'm not that good. Like if I were really good at golf, maybe I would not like the wind because it's harder.
Yeah.
But I'm not. And so I don't have like high expectations really. And just it's one more thing to compute.
Yeah.
One more thing to think about over the ball or before the ball.
And we all need that.
I like that, though. I want more things to think about. I just think, you know, okay, I've got 150 yards, but what? Is this a two-club wind,
yeah.
Gene? What kind of wind is this? And just sort of the strategy of it. I like.
Yeah.
I'm not interested in dust bowls or whatever you said.
Right. I don't know who that was at. Willett in a sand trap just now. The camera angle, he was at the back of the trap, and the camera was like at the front edge, it looked like. And it looked like you were viewing him through a snowstorm.
No, no.
The sand is just blown around so much; it's crazy.
Well,
yeah, I don't want to think too much.
You get to wear a jacket. Wear a stylish golf jacket.
Oh, no.
In the wind,
no.
A windbreaker.
I don't love it enough to
if
play
you will.
In elements.
Last night, my son played in the elements. He had a lacrosse game.
Yeah,
I watched in the elements.
That's different.
Pretty steady rain throughout this game.
I don't love that either.
I watched in the elements.
It. My kid. If it was your kid, I wouldn't have stayed.
I had okay. I had an interesting conversation with another one of the parents last night that I wanted to run by you. So my son is a freshman. I was to drive, or my wife, she ended up doing it, but like he is not driving a car, right? So he's on a team. A lot of his teammates drive back and forth to practice and to games, but he's 14. So he's not doing that.
Right.
As far as I know. This friend of mine I was talking to, his son is a senior, and my son had a play where he just missed on a shot, and you know, we were just talking about the game as we're watching the game together. And I must have mentioned something like, you know, I got to ask him about that later. Like, what happened? There was this one play where he missed wide, and it just, maybe my angle contributed to this, but I'm like, wow, that was really wide. You know, like, what happened there?
Right.
By the way, because, you know, to defend him, he told me later, I didn't even notice it, but a guy got a stick, like, right at his elbow, right as he released the shot. So it made sense.
Yep.
But I said to my friend Howard, like, you know, I'll be interested in hearing him tell, like asking him what happened there. And he said something like, oh, really? You're going to ask him? Like, well, of course, you know, of course I'm going to ask him mm-hmm. about that. And he said, like, I don't want to quote him exactly, but just like the idea of asking or bringing up, quote, mistakes, you know, things that didn't go right about games.
Yeah.
With your son or daughter after the game is like, wow, you're going to really
right.
like, well, of course I'm going to do that. But his thing was that, no, you cannot do that. Like, you cannot ask the kids, take it super seriously. I know.
Right.
But so I wasn't going to shy away from bringing up
yeah.
a thing that went wrong.
Uh-huh.
And I wonder if like you would do that.
Is this other parent like subscribing to the like just? I love watching you play, and like that's it. Like, there's no, because I think. Quick answer: yes, I would bring it up. I brought up plenty of things with my kid. Not all the time. It would depend on, you know, what else happened in the game. You know, like
if you're giving up an overtime goal in a
right.
elimination game, you're going to give them space.
Yeah, this happened in a tournament in Lake Placid. They had a great game against a very good team, and they got tied up late and they lost. And I could see plainly what happened, and it was a misplay by him that led to the winning goal. Yeah, there was no need to like
what happened there?
Yeah, I saw it. You lost sight of it, and it was on your pad, and the kid knocked it in, and you lost. Yeah, but, you know, you got to – maybe not right after, but Owen liked talking about the plays that he made or didn't make and what he would do different. Not always right after the game or on the ride home, but, like, a day or two later even, like, hey, you know, what happened on that one? What were you thinking on that play? And he was, like, very open to that. But you know, time and place matters. Like if it's running hot, like now's not the time sort of thing. But
yeah,
no, I think if you want, I mean, everyone can do it their own way. There's no, you know, there's no handbook. But yeah, I never wanted to be hypercritical after anything because, you know, that's not my role here. You've got coaches, you know, I want to support you. But you know, days later, yeah. Hey, what happened there? So, yeah, I'm a mixed bag of you and mm-hmm. your acquaintance there. I think.
Yeah, I think maybe I don't know for sure, but maybe he was telling me like his son wouldn't have it.
Right.
You know,
right.
Like don't give me my space after
mm-hmm.
a mm-hmm. loss or anything like
right,
that.
Right.
Which I'm like you. If, you know, I mean, I would also be like that.
Yeah. Read
I'm not going to be in his hair.
Right. Yeah, and I would never want to be like I can't believe you like I've seen people do that with their kids and just like, oh my God, what are you doing?
I've gotten
just please stop.
I think I've gotten really good, and probably you are sort of a reason for this. Updating me through the years on just what it's like to watch your kids play and just sort of how you have to restrain yourself, you know. Plus, you might think like you sort of have the added piece where, you know, it's the job too. Like you might be recognized and you don't want to sort of have a reputation for being obnoxious at games. I've gotten really good at not talking.
Yeah.
In the beginning, it was more baseball when my kids both played baseball, and that was not my natural instinct. Like my instinct was to talk. Mm-hmm. You know, what I would find is, without even thinking about it, I'm watching sports like I am in here, and I didn't have a filter that it was kids always. So like, oh, Robbie, come on, make a play here.
Right.
You know, like I would, and I'm just naturally like a little bit loud.
Yeah.
So yeah. I know there were times when I'm like, oh, geez, I didn't really need to say that out loud.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I got to a point where I would almost never, like last night, it's a new season, new people, new school. If you were watching me last night, I almost never said a word.
Keep your head down, right, yeah.
In this game.
Yeah.
Because you don't know if the kid who dropped the pass is the dad is standing next to you.
Right. Like just... That's right. That's right. When it's new, especially, that's right. I because of the position, my son played goalie in hockey. When it got – it was actually like this all the time, really. I was almost going to differentiate when it got serious, right, when he started playing for the Regals and then, like, you know – OHL teams are interested, and now it's the USHL and NHL teams that are but from the start, I tried to, especially at the beginning of a year, I'm the goalie parent. I'm just going to be over here. I don't want you to feel like you can't be frustrated with my kid because I'm close to you. I don't want you to hear me mad because your kid didn't get it out of the zone and now we're hemmed in and now, right? So I'm just going to be over here and that's my spot. And then as the year goes on, you get to know like who's who and, you know, make that work a little, be a little more social, but mostly I would be on an end by myself. Just like, as I just don't want my reaction about something your kid might have done to offend you or anything. Like, I'm trying to just stay to myself, and I also don't want you to feel like, you know, you're going to say, oh, how about a save, kid? And I'm right there going, yeah, hi, how are you? Sorry, my kid blew that one, you know, whatever. So I was pretty isolated. Because of the position more, I felt. I just wanted to be alone with that. But,
you know, and we were talking, my friend and I were talking about this last night at this game, and I said, buddy, you hear me on the air. I don't show up for Bill's post game like, yeah, you know, we probably shouldn't talk about that fumble for a few weeks.
Right.
Right? Like, we probably should just not make it worse
by
harping on that pick.
Yeah.
Do you know the story of Trey Turner last year in Philadelphia, and how, so he signed this huge contract. I never knew this until like this year. He signed this huge contract with the Phillies, you know, the kind of contract you can't get out of.
I think I know what I remember this from last baseball season.
Had a pretty bad first half or whatever it was, and there was someone in radio that started a movement, like, let's all just, maybe it was over one day, like, let's just all cheer him. Because we're Philadelphia, we're known for booing everybody.
Let's turn it around.
He's going to be here a long time. Maybe let's make him feel good. But what harm can that do? The guy was like,
all right.
Why not? And so that happened. And he completely turned around his season. Like, he had an amazing second half. I don't know what kind of credit he gave to that.
Right.
But I was reading Sam Miller writing about Anthony Rendon, my favorite baseball writer, Sam Miller, Pebble Hunting. and how the in Anaheim, fans tried the same thing with Rendon, who's been there for years, and it's all just been completely miserable, like injuries, and he's been kind of combative, and like it's way past the point with where it was with Trey Turner, but on Reddit or something, a group of fans, like, let's just cheer Rendon tonight. And he, like, struck out and popped out and then...
It didn't take.
It didn't take. It didn't help.
And the cheering didn't last.
Didn't last. It wasn't very many people. They gave up. Even though the announcer, of course, right, works for the team, the announcer said 75% of fans were cheering. And Sam Miller, like, I was at the game. It was like 1 in 10.
Okay.
Right. I don't work for the Angels.
Right.
Sorry. It was like 1 in 10. But... yeah, I didn't know this about Turner until I read that article.
I didn't know this anecdote about the fans. I knew he had a very tough year and then turned it around. I must have been watching a game when it started going well, and it was pointed out how awful.
Hey, everyone. Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us, and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
He'd been and like oh well, you know, good thing for them because they're married.
We should have tried this with Leno.
Yeah. Well, we kind of did. No, Bronx cheering a shot on goal doesn't count.
That is not what it is.
That's not really the opposite.
That is the opposite. Yeah, that is obviously mocking him.
Yeah.
Yeah, and tough. You know, that didn't help.
No.
All right, Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here at 803-0550. Got an NFL draft take. We're certainly in the mood for that. A little bit of a tangent there just now, but we'll get back into the draft and talk some golf with Brian Koziol, host of Tee to Green tomorrow morning on WGR. Masters continuing day two. It is super windy. The scores are high. You get used to this tournament even. A lot of majors where it doesn't really matter how hard they make the golf course anymore. You still see, like yesterday, 7-under, 6-under, 6-under. But today, different.
A lot of 70s on the board today already. Yeah.
70s and up.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. So we'll have Brian coming up here next hour. Back after the update, this is WGR.
Certainly looks like a first-round pick. The production is there, the yards per route run, everything from an analytics perspective. And it's not that he ran slow. It's that at 6'2", about 172 pounds, he quote-unquote only ran 4.41. So I think a lot of people, including myself, thought, man, over 6'2", under 180, looks really fast on film. He's going to maybe run the fastest 40 and be right up there with Xavier Worthy. He's, you know, 0.2 seconds slower than Xavier Worthy, and everyone's like, oh, he's, you know, not fast enough anymore. I certainly dinged him a little bit, but I think he's still an early second-round pick on my board, and with the Bills being as close as they are to the second round, I would be fine if they pick him.
Chris Trapasso, CBS Sports, joins us Wednesdays leading up to the NFL draft, so we've got two more sessions with Chris here ahead.
Wasn't there a story about when the Bills selected Gabriel Davis that Brandon Bean was happy that he ran whatever he ran at the combine, 4.55 or something, like whatever, push him down, fine, we love this guy?
Yes.
I wonder that about Franklin.
I learned that only this year when I thought it was kind of a fun idea to root against the guys you want at the right, combine. And right. Then Sal was like, the Bills actually did that maybe with Davis, or were maybe not rooted against him, but were happy.
Right. They definitely weren't like, oh, we can't pick him now. They thought, like, we can probably get him later than we were going to be able to get him if he'd run, you know, what, a 4.5 or something.
So Troy Franklin of Oregon is among those players, if the Bills were to pick him at 28, like Chris Trapasso here said, he would think it would be fine. Yes?
Yeah. I guess so. Yeah.
I guess so.
It's interesting to me. Like, I think I mentioned this when we talked to Chris on Wednesday, that when it started, I felt like he was in the pool with the other guys that are below the top three. And it became pretty clear pretty quick that he was at the bottom of that group, you know, like Chris is saying, like more like a, you know, round two candidate. But you know, that's us out here. You know, the teams might have a whole different idea of how they're stacking these guys up. All I know is, like, he was an idea. We started talking about, oh, look at the receiver class. He was just one of the guys with the other guys. Like, hey, that could be a good idea for us.
He was my first receiver in this whole conversation I was interested in, was Franklin. But, yeah, it sort of ebbed and flowed.
Mm-hmm.
Well, less than 2 weeks away. 803-0550 to call in if you've got a draft take. Brian Koziel coming up to talk about the Masters in about 25 minutes. I had a question that's not about sports.
Okay.
So I'm cooking more.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm enjoying that. It's like almost my favorite thing to do is put together a dish. And so today I did that. And yesterday was shopping day. And I had plenty of time. So I was just sort of in my element, kind of looking around produce. I've got to eat a lot of vegetables mm-hmm. with this Awaken 180 program I'm on, which has been great. And so I'm looking around, and yesterday at the store they had Thai chilies.
Okay.
Can you picture them? Really skinny and little. Almost like green beans.
Okay.
If they're the
sure.
green ones.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yep.
With a stem.
I think we have some of these in the crisper in the fridge right now.
In the what?
The crisper. A drawer.
The crisper?
Yeah. What's with those drawers in the fridge can be referred to as crispers?
They are?
Yeah.
I've never heard that.
Really?
I've never heard of the crisper.
Zach, no?
I'm fairly positive you're making that up. I've never heard that a day in my life.
The crisper.
Yeah.
Does it have, like, buttons and things you can do? Does it turn on?
No. The fridge we currently have does not have this. The one we had prior was a little bigger, and it even had, I don't know how this, I assume, I never really fiddled with them, but it had a little lever on it, like a fader. Like, left is closed, right is open, and I think it would allow air from within the fridge, circulating within the fridge, to access the drawers to thus keep vegetables crisp. That's what the crisper is. I'm not making this up.
I don't think you're making it up. I am just in stunned disbelief.
Yeah.
Just looked it up. It's a thing, and I don't love it. I don't love it.
All right. I never, ever one time.
It's a drawer.
It's a drawer. It's a drawer that you keep the vegetables or the fruit in.
Do your drawers where you keep clothes have names like this or just in the fridge?
Aside from junk, no. Like the junk drawer.
Okay.
But no, I don't. Yeah, I don't have.
Just the fridge.
No, I mean, I guess I know.
With a dial.
I know which, you know, drawer my shirts are in, so I have a shirt drawer.
Yeah, okay.
But
yes.
No. No, this was, yeah, this had again, like a fader on it, left and right. And I never saw that little fader anywhere but in the middle. So my wife never messed with it ever once, or the kids. But you could move it around, and I don't know what kind of impact it had on the food, because, again, I never did anything with it. But
you
it
never
was
toyed
a,
with it.
It was a feature of the fridge. Crisper, yeah.
In Canada?
No, this was in the good old US of A, Mike.
And not in Canada?
Not in Canada. We never had a real nice fridge in Canada. We just had, like, you know,
I have drawers.
Yeah, most fridges do have
There are two drawers. Yeah. One we use for cold cuts and bacon mm-hmm. and cheese. And one is for vegetables. I do not think they have dials.
Yeah.
I don't know if air gets in there. I also have not tested them to see if the food is crisp or not crisp based on whether it's been in the drawer.
Yeah.
But now I have something to take home and talk about.
Yeah. You might need to upgrade your fridge game. I don't know. You might like a crisper.
My fridge isn't good because it doesn't have a crisper. I've never even heard the word.
I don't mean to be judging. I'm just saying, like, you can do better with refrigeration out there. Get a crisper.
My fridge gets Cinemax. I mean, this fridge is pretty modern. It just doesn't have anything that I know of as a crisper.
Yeah.
Actually, the ice maker is broken.
Oh, then you need a new fridge. Well, I would need a new fridge. If the ice maker were broken, I would need... Can't keep going.
It's either broken or I just don't know how to fix it. It's like something can be lost or I just don't know where it is. Yeah. There's a difference to me. It's not necessarily lost if I don't know where it is.
Have you tried just turning it on and off?
I've done it all.
Okay.
I believe I have done it all.
Because our ice maker occasionally will stop working, and I just have to, like, you know, turn it off, turn it back on, and, oh, it's making ice again.
Like our TV.
Kind of.
Leave it off for
kinda,
a day?
Kind of, yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I could do that.
Yeah.
I think I've done that.
We have the two big drawers in inside the fridge.
That are not crispers.
I think they serve the same purpose, but there's just no settings. They probably are called crispers. I have no idea.
You maybe need the settings to have it be a crisper, or maybe you don't.
Yeah, I don't know.
We don't know
but
for sure.
But we also have like this like very below those with its own door, like a deli drawer. And that's where like the cold cuts and the bacon. It's like not a deep. It's very shallow drawer.
I have that.
In the middle of the fridge.
I have that.
And I like that a lot. That's nice.
I have that. That we put in like oranges and lemons.
Yeah, you could do that. Sure.
And fizzy water and beer sometimes.
Okay, sure.
Go sideways. In
yeah,
the,
yeah, yeah.
Does
yeah.
that drawer have a name?
Deli drawer.
We call it the tray.
I think ours, when we got this new fridge most recently, it was referred to as a deli drawer. So that's what we use it for. We keep cold cuts in there. I do keep some drinks in there too.
John, who is more baffling to you right now? Those of us who have never heard of crispers, or those of us who walk around using that term? John?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yes, sorry.
I can't believe you've never heard of crisper. I've grown up on it, and that's what they were always called.
Drawers and fridge.
Yeah.
And fridges. Fridge drawers.
Drawers and fridges. Yeah.
Crispers.
All right. Thank you, John. I appreciate your support.
John,
it's nice to know you're out there.
How does anybody never heard of this before?
Yeah.
How is this possible?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I never have.
But it's happened. Yeah. Anyway, so...
So Thai Chili's.
We were talking about shopping.
So yeah. Thai Chili's.
Yeah. Is that what happened? I said they're in the crisper and like that's it? Okay,
yes.
Good. Okay.
I want to know, because I feel like I'm missing out, if one can learn to handle spicy food, or is that just something you're never going to get better at?
By handle, you mean enjoy eating it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, am I ever, I'm at a certain level, I'm not the worst, like I'm not the wimpiest when it comes to spicy food, but I'm not either like hot wings, any of that. So Thai chilies are kind of up there. They're not habanero, but they're above jalapenos. And I want to make, I'm going to make a sauce with these and I want to like it.
Mm-hmm.
I want to incorporate I want to know the Scoville scale, all right? I want to incorporate hot peppers into my existence. Can I adapt to that, or am I never – is somebody – like, are people not able to do that? Your limit is your limit.
Depends on how bad you want it.
It might.
And what kind of momentum you have heading into the I don't know. Yes.
Can you get better at tolerating hot food? Or will you always be pretty much the same?
I think you can get better at it.
What do I have to do? I want to know what the tech. What do I need to do to get better at it? Other than just like eat hotter and hotter foods, and then I won't mind anymore. Is that going to happen?
Maybe.
I want to know.
I don't have an answer for you because I have always sort of leaned hot. Like I'm not like suicide wing guy or anything, but you know, hot is, you know, plainly acceptable most everywhere. There are a few places I won't order hot.
I will never order
because
hot
I know, but mostly if I'm ordering takeout, like delivery, I'm getting them hot. Fine. The places I get delivery from, they're not going to blow me away with hot. A few places I go for wings, hot is going to like, whoa, okay, I already got the scalp sweat and I've only had one bite. It's a little too much.
That does not appeal to me at all.
Yeah.
Why would I take that chance?
Yeah.
That I'm going to have these be too hot.
But yet you've got to.
You know the Thai hot story, the recent Thai hot story when my wife ordered Thai food for our family?
Yes.
And it was Thai hot. And the most excited maybe I've ever been in my life was sitting down to that meal. And I could not. I couldn't either. I was caught in between. I wouldn't walk away from it. I just was in terrible pain.
Thai hot is hot. Thai hot is hot.
I had to eat it. Yep. I did it in phases. little bit now, a little bit later. Yeah. Doesn't go away. Yeah. I don't know. The logic doesn't work. It's not going to get less hot just because it's cold.
I used to get takeout Thai a lot when Owen was playing. I would stop at a place right around the corner from here, grab or a place near Holiday Twin Ranks, and I would just grab a takeout. And one time I ordered like whatever the hottest they had, and I never did that again.
The little peppers, the little Thai chilies on the menu.
Yes.
That's what that is on the menu.
Absolutely annihilated me. I ate it, but I was like, damn, don't do that again.
I want to know if you can learn, if you can get better at that.
I'm gonna give you a chance. I think you can.
If it's possible, you think I'm the guy to do it.
Yes, I think you can do it.
Okay.
I have faith.
Well, that's a nice thing to hear. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, back after a timeout. Brian Koziol on day two of the Masters. The scores are high. What's it doing to the top of the leaderboard? We'll analyze that with Brian coming up here on WGR. Breaking. Brandon Ayuk has unfollowed the 49ers on Instagram.
Here we go.
Breaking. Does that get a red breaking ticker line anywhere?
I don't feel like the news breakers react to that stuff.
No,
I don't feel like I get like an Adam Schefter breaking Brandon. I don't think that happens. No,
we just did.
Yeah, no, I'm fired up. Yeah,
you're into it.
He hates the 49ers. He's going to refuse to play there.
Who do we do this the most for? Kyler Murray unfollowing the team. Or taking the name, or taking the name out of the bio, or removing all references to the Bears.
Murray was one, but there's so many. I can't keep track.
There are a lot of those.
Yeah.
This is the next one.
Yeah.
Brandon Ayuk unfollowing the 49ers. Why would Brandon Ayuk even bother to follow the 49ers in the first place? What is he getting? They're going to tell him when practice is? Is that what the 49ers are tweeting about?
Decent question.
Are posting when to be at the when the plane is going to leave? Like, yeah. Why would you need to follow your own team?
I'm assuming they don't need to DM him information. I am assuming they have his phone number.
Yeah. Or I know what it is now. So he can see the happy birthday messages. That's why.
Oh, sure.
The teams love to tweet happy birthday messages to the fans, you know, about the players.
Mm-hmm.
How are you going to see them if you don't follow them? You'll never get the message. But now he won't get the message because he has not he's unfollowed the 49ers. I might follow the 49ers now just to make him feel better.
How much am I missing not being on Instagram?
All these are now just constant ads.
Yeah.
So
right.
I enjoyed Instagram for sunset pictures and even today actually I used it for the first time in a while to talk about the weight loss.
Okay.
Picture of my lunch because I want people to know like here is a really delicious lunch that I'm eating, and just because you're losing weight doesn't mean you're just not eating,
right?
But I don't think you're missing anything really.
I mean, I have it, but it's just I don't know, the most recent post I have up there might be from 2 years ago. I just don't think to put stuff up there ever.
Yeah, no, I don't think I wouldn't recommend it.
Okay.
I'm not going to tell you need to be on Instagram.
Yeah, good.
Even though I am considerably younger than you, I'm not going to tell you. I'm not going to lobby for Instagram right now. Brian Koziol on a windy second round at the Masters after sports. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.
Hey, everyone. Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us, and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.